Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads. On this week's interview episode, I'm very excited to have Michelle Chalfant here with me on the show. Michelle is a truth seeker, holistic therapist, author, and host of the amazing Adult Chair podcast. Very happy to have you. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brandon. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while. It's been on the books here for a while. And I always love having other podcast hosts because, well, you know the drill so well. It's really easy, fluid to talk. I get the chance to just sit back and do my very best to let someone else have the mic as much as possible until I get really, really excited. And I sometimes talk over people. I've had a few people like, Brandon, you talk over people too much. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I get excited, you know? So I'll try my best not to do that. And this is all about you and what you're up to and all the magical, wonderful things you're creating in the world. I would like to start with the same question I always open with. My listeners know I'm predictable where this is concerned. And it just gives us a real good idea of where you're coming from. And the question is, you're in an elevator. You got 10 floors to answer. The guy next to you looks over, says, what's your passion? What do you say?
Truth. Without a doubt.
All right.
I am. Right. I have been a speaker or speaker. I am a speaker, but I've been a seeker my whole life. And I've been turning under. Hold on. Let me start over. I have been looking under rocks and finding mentors and teachers and you name it in order to find truth. And that is something that has been my whole life. So, yes, I would say truth is my answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a sweatshirt from many, many years ago. I've had it over 10 years and it's all torn up and raggedy and it says truth seeker on it. So I definitely relate to that. And I always say it's all about just turning over rocks. That's our job, like, is to just follow our intuition, follow our nose, follow our heart and turn over rocks without expectation and see, you know, what pops out. And of course, there's going to be some that have a super secret, wonderful Easter egg there waiting for us. And, you know, that's really all we have to do.
Definitely. I think that I was just going to say something that you said, which is follow your heart. And I find that when we speak and find truth, it resonates. There's something deep inside of us and it's like striking a chord and it feels so right and so true. We know that it's truth, where sometimes we'll hear something else and it'll be like, no, that's not right. That's not exactly right. So we have to keep looking and seeking. So yeah, it's how does it feel in the heart space?
Absolutely. Yeah. I always, that's a big one for, I think, a lot of us, especially those of us who are very analytical and cerebral, is learning to move from the head into the heart space. And I even, you know, someone showed me an exercise a couple years ago that I just absolutely love, just literally taking the energy, you know, we have so much energy in our heads, right? I mean, everyone thinks of themselves as living you know, out of your eyes in your brain kind of thing. That's where I reside. But really, your soul extends beyond, way beyond the body, actually. And the heart is really meant to be the driver's seat, I believe. And so focusing on, and we're going to talk about guided meditations that you do, and maybe you even already have something. If not, you should consider it. Moving, you know, taking and really moving the energy from your head into your heart space. And I was doing that, you know, at the urging of someone, and I was like, wow, this is really powerful. How much different it feels almost, and just more natural to have your center of gravity, if you will, of your being in that heart space, as opposed to always up and up, you know, in the higher, you know, head region.
Yeah. And I think that that one thing that's really helpful for people, because we do live in a society where people say, what do you think? You know, we don't hear, how does that make you feel? Or can you help me feel this? And about, I don't remember how long I wasn't living here. It had to be 15 some years ago. I remember learning from a teacher, start asking the question, you know, how does it feel? So now I've gotten in this, just, it's just the way that I speak with my friends. I'll say, can you feel something for me? Not, what do you think about this? And I'm asking them to like run an idea that I have through their mind, and then tuning into the heart. And does the heart expand or contract? And oh my God, I mean, our heart and our inner being are the internal GPS that we all have, but we go to the mind so quickly. And we get confused, where if you go to your heart, it's like, do you expand or do you contract?
I love that.
And then you know what the next step is if you're an expansion.
I'm borrowing that.
Yeah, it's just
that is such a
way.
Great. Can you feel this for me? You know, like what a wonderful, you know, it makes me think of another one of my friends I had on recently, Connor. He always says, you know, talks about, and I think of a couple of people I've had on, actually, Savon Bomar, a friend of mine as well. They always use, you know, talking about understanding, you know, instead of understanding. And it kind of makes me think of that.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
We have to drop what I call like below the chin. Like people live chin up, and I always say you got to drop chin down, and people don't know how to do that.
Oh, I like that. You've already hit me with a couple of really good like sayings and thoughts. Like I'm all about like I absolutely just love using words in a different way, and you know, it seems like that's part of your. I think our paths are very, very similar in many ways. So I look forward to all the golden nuggets that you're going to sprinkle throughout the show today. Let's start though at the beginning and tell us a little bit about your story, your background.
Oh boy. Okay.
Leave out a few
like
details,
said,
but you know.
Yeah. How long do we have here? I honestly have been somebody that's been a seeker of truth. Like I said, like my whole life, I don't remember a time when I wasn't asking a million questions to everybody. And I was telling you earlier, you know, I was born and raised Catholic in Catholic school. And I remember going to my priest saying, I don't understand this. You need to explain this. You need to explain that. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. And because of that, you know, in my growing up years, it really pushed me into going deeper inside of myself and learning more about what is truth. So now I would consider myself much more, or not a religious person, but a very spiritual person. But also growing up with, you know, a typical, I should say not typical, but a dysfunctional family. I don't know of anyone that has a functional family, like a perfect,
it's
happy,
just a matter of to
home,
what degree,
right?
What degree is the dysfunction does. Is really the question.
Exactly. So I grew up, with alcoholism in the, and I grew up, I'm Italian. So I grew up in Rochester, New York. And, you know, we were very close to the family. Like everybody, you know, I was raised not just by my parents, it was aunts, uncles, grandmother, you know, it was all together. So there was alcoholism, there was codependency, enmeshment, all kinds of fun things. So because of that, again, because I'm a seeker and always trying to find resolve and help and find truth, it pushed me into a master's in counseling and going on to get my license. But all the while in my parallel life, always seeking truth and becoming more and more spiritual. And again, finding out what is that voice inside of me. So all these years later now, I have really taken all that I've learned over all these years. And now I have a practice, and I would call it a very eclectic, holistic kind of practice or integrative practice. I am a therapist, but a very integrative kind of therapist. I really am holistic. I use some grounded, traditional techniques, but very intertwined with some energy medicine, meditation, even sometimes chakra work. Once in a great while, I'll use energy medicine, which I used to use a lot more in my many years ago. But if someone needs it, I pull it out of my pocket and we do it kind of thing. So now I have a private practice, and I've developed this model called the adult chair, and it is a way to help people get into the healthiest, highest version of themselves. And that's what the whole podcast is around. And like you just said, I do have guided meditations, and I offer classes, and I'm building a online class right now to teach people. It's a really easy, user-friendly tool or model that helps people get unstuck, that helps people with if they have codependency or depression or anxiety or any of these common things that most of us have, or many of us have, I should say, growing up, what do you do with it? And that's what this model is all about. And it's really easy to use. Most people say my podcast is like free counseling, and it is, because I go on there and I talk about this is how you do this, and I break it down. Cool. So it's really easy to understand and then to apply. So that's pretty much what I do now. And I'm writing, I have the free ebook, but of course I have a bigger book that's coming out too. It's all happening in 2018, Brandon. It's a very, very busy year for me. So, yep. That's what I do.
It is a big year. I think it's a big year in general. All of that sounds amazing. And of course, we're going to dive in, and I want to learn more about the adult chair, but in the model itself. And but yeah, I feel like it's a big year for like the world. I had a numerology a show where we talked about, the fact that it's an 11 year, and which is a master number. And it feels like there's just so much bubbling up, and the world is changing quickly, and so many people are coming online spiritually speaking and having these awakenings and, incredible, sometimes mystical experiences and, tapping into other dimensions. It's like there's just a lot happening. And so it's going to be a ride. That's for sure. Because as we record, we're still in January.
I agree. One of the first shows that I did,
for anyone who's listening, like July.
I know, right? One of the first shows I did something I don't normally do, but I had an astrologer that I use on for the first show of the year, just to kind of let us know like what the heck's going on in 2018, because 17 was a hard year for so many of us. And she even said, this is a much lighter year. Get ready. As you probably heard on your show, it's just, I'm very looking forward to 18. But 17, thank God, is over.
Yeah, I think it was a trying one for a lot of people.
So it was. It brought up a lot of our shadow stuff and our triggers and things that were in the unconscious that we didn't want to look at, but we had to look at it. And this year is much lighter. Thank goodness.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's dive into the adult chair and your show and what you touched on a little bit. What exactly is the model? And can you give us the best version you can, at least over the show?
Yeah. Well, again, it's a model of transformation, and it takes people from wherever they are to help them then to get in their adult, what I call the adult chair, which is, again, the healthiest, highest version of themselves. And when I use the word highest, it means conscious. So the model is based on three chairs, and we start out with a child chair, and everyone starts here from age 0 to 6. This is when we learn all about true feelings, true emotions or feelings, creativity, spontaneity, our passion is here, vulnerability, intimacy, creativity, all of these things. Fun sits in that chair. And then around the age of 6 or 7 is when the ego really comes a lot stronger online, and we stop living in the moment like we're doing in the child. And then we move into this place because of the ego, which is the seat of the survivor. This next phase, called the adolescent phase, the adolescent chair, is all about living in the past or the future. It can't live in the moment. It's too unsafe. So it's got to always be on the lookout for what's coming in front of me and what's coming, and what's in my past. So this is where we learn to make up all kinds of stories and assumptions. And I'm sure you know this, but stories and assumptions are typically 97% of the time not true, or they don't come true. So, but we live in this place of thought, and the mind is trying to keep us safe, keep us safe, keep us safe. So this is the chair that, we sit in from about the age of 7 to post-adolescent phase, which is about 25. And here we learn, again, living in past and future, storing assumption. This is where codependency would form, addictions sit here, the controller, the pessimist, the pessimist, the critic, all of these parts of us. It's the seat of the survivor. So this is where we learn to put masks on to become someone else that's more likable and lovable. We become not ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, as children, we're so pure and we come in and we're innocent. And then we go into the 6 or 7 until about 25. And, you know, we have to go through middle school in this phase. And it's like, oh, you don't like me, so maybe if I become this person, then you'll like me. Yeah. We start moving away from our true self during this whole phase. And then around 25, this is when the prefrontal cortex is much more online. You know, parts of the brain are more developed. But in addition to that, more consciousness is able to come in. And if we had parents that were able to model for us how we live in this healthy version of ourselves, then we quite naturally become a really beautiful balance of, again, what happens in the child. So it's like all the emotions and feelings, as well as we become not living in the masks of this adolescent phase, but we become aware of them. So we're stepping out from this conscious space and looking at what's happening. But then we choose from this really high, healthy place called our healthy adult, and that's living in your adult chair. So again, unfortunately, most of us don't have these parents or caregivers that teach us how to do that and model for us how to live in this healthy version of ourselves. So we get stuck, emotionally speaking, living from this adolescent chair. And even though we're physically growing, we get stuck in this adolescent chair. So the goal of the model is, how do I then live in my adult chair? So that's where all these tools come in. We identify where we are, and then we go, okay, so how do we then move into the adult chair? And it's very energy based. So I actually have 3 chairs in my office. I have a little chair, you know, the little girl, or the little girl, the little child chair, the adolescent, and then the adult chair. And when people sit in the chairs, they'll report back and say, you know, there's even like a faster energy in the adolescent chair. I'm like, yeah, the energy there, when it's within us, moves really fast. But the adult is present moment. It's setting boundaries. It's consciousness. It's compassion for self and others. It's the observer of the thought. It's the part that can actually connect into the feelings and feel the feelings. It's a very high place to live. So that's our goal. That's basically the whole model in a nutshell.
Wow. So what are the, so you sort of assess where your clients are, whoever you're dealing with, where they're at, and sort of what their hangups are, and then proceed to try and shift them to, you know, the healthiest, greatest and greatest version of themselves, as you mentioned. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, that's what's so user-friendly about this whole model is, like, I'm not shifting them. Of course, I can offer them tools.
Yeah.
But they identify, like, in fact, I had a client yesterday that came in. She's like, I know I was not in my adult chair. I got in a fight with my husband and blah, 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 blah. Okay. She goes, but this is, and then she said, but this is what I could have said, or I could have said this. And she goes, and it was blah, blah, blah. And I said, exactly. And she goes, that's my adult. I said, yes, that's the healthy part of you that would say that. So people just start learning again. Yes, I can offer the tools, but again, they're all on my podcast or they're on the website. I can offer tools, but I'm not exactly doing this quote unquote diagnosing. In fact, I don't like to diagnose people. I don't like to label people, but I have the terms like codependency or narcissism or things like that, the controller in this, in the adolescent chair, because other people identify with those structures. So then they go, oh, wait a minute, I'm codependent. What do I do about that?
Right.
So yeah. So yes, I certainly guide people if they're stuck, but a lot of it's so user-friendly. They can find out where they are, and then they learn, how do I move into my adult? And they start experiencing the energy. And you know what that's like when you live from this conscious place. And I want to share this with everybody that's hearing this. It's not this zened out in meditative state 24/7. Okay. It's like when I'm in my adult, I'm feeling all my emotions. So it's like, I may be really angry and I may set a boundary with you. So it's not this, you know, sitting in a meditation pose all the time. It's living your life, but with presence, observing thoughts, not getting triggered by those thoughts because I'm sitting in observance. It's living with compassion for myself. It's finding my truth. It's being vulnerable. So I connect into the child part of myself where my vulnerability sits. And I say, you know what? I'm going to let this person see my true self. And I'm going to tell them what's true about me right now. And I'm scared, but I'm going to take this mask off. So it's like really living in that truth place and being brave enough to do it. And we're brave enough because we have this energy of the adult coming in. It's the higher self energy that comes down into us and helps us to be brave and helps us to be present and things like that.
Wow, very cool.
Does that all make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. Let me ask you this. What are some of the most common hangups, or let's take all the people, the thousands and thousands of people that are going to hear this broadcast. Hear this podcast. Mm-hmm. What would you say? And I know everyone's unique and on their own, mm-hmm. Trajectory and path, but what are some of the most common themes that you find that people, where they're stuck and what would you sort of do to help shift their perspective to unstick them. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Get them unstuck.
Get them unstuck.
Unstickify them.
Yes. There are definitely some things that pop into my mind. Number one, anxiety. And people come in, they go, I'm anxious. I don't know what, what do I do about this? So many people come in with anxiety. And I have defined anxiety through the adult chair. To me, anxiety is a physical manifestation of unfelt emotions.
Mm. Interesting.
Because what's anxiety? Like when people come in and they'll say, well, I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. Can you give me something? Can you give me an idea? And I say, yeah, let's first understand what anxiety is. So if we have three chairs in front of us, I demo this in the chairs and I'll say, so this little kid part of you who's like 0 to 6 is having all this emotion come through them. And then what happens is this other part of you called the adolescent part, this egoic part, which by the way, has the average emotional age of about a 12-year-old.
Interesting.
So if all this disturbance, is going on in the body, let's say I feel really unsafe, I feel really unloved, and it's rippling through the body. What happens is the mind comes in, which is the adolescent chair, comes in that egoic part and goes, I need to stop this. So I'm going to push it down. But there's a lot of energy, as you know, from emotion. So the emotions are rising up and the brain or the mind is pushing down that emotion. That creates tension in the body. Think about two cars going bumper to bumper at 150 miles an hour.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's like a lot of things going on in the body. So that's where shortness of breath comes from. That's where stomach ache comes from. That's where my shoulders being tense. Because that's when I ask people, how do you know you have anxiety? They go, well, I feel it. And I say, what does it feel like? And they say, I'm jittery. Tightness of throat. Da, 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 all it's physical. They're all physical manifestations. And then the next thing I do is I say, okay, so let's slow everything down. This is what our healthy adult would do. Let's take a slow, deep breath. Really slow. Let's take a few of those and let's bring everything down and let's get curious. Another word of our adult. Let's just get curious about what's going on inside of me. I don't need a paragraph. All that I want to know is, wow, I'm going to notice, really tune into the fact that my stomach is in knots. Okay. So be with that. Be with the knots in your stomach. So with some people, all that I do, it's a lot of somatic work. So I'm sitting and I'm helping them be with their feelings in the physical body. And then they find, because energy is always in motion, they start to move. And then they might say, mm-hmm. it's gone. It's that fast. But we don't slow down enough to tune into our emotions or to tune into the physical manifestation in the body. So oftentimes we're just following the physical feelings in the body and it moves. And other times people come in and go, I'm just really stressed. I think my wife is going to leave me. I don't know what to do. I'm like, so what's that feel like? What's the emotion? I'm in total fear. I have loneliness coming up. Okay. Can we sit with those emotions? And that person might cry. They might get angry, whatever it is. but we let those emotions come through, boom, the anxiety is gone. I see it time and time again. I use this with myself. I grew up, I had a ton of anxiety.
By bringing awareness to it and allowing it the space to be, and it is how you get it unstuck from wherever in the body. And, you know, I brought this up very recently on the show, and a couple days ago, actually, I was talking to a friend who was getting a deep tissue massage. I think it's called Rolfing. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, very much.
She was like, oh my gosh, I was shocked. All of a sudden it caused it basically jarred loose these emotions that are stuck physically in my body. And all of a sudden I want to cry and scream and all these things. And it's sort of like tapping, right? It's the same kind of emotional freedom technique. Same kind of stuff can happen.
Yes.
And it's such evidence that you are, you know, trapping emotions in your body when you're feeling, you know, negativity and anxiousness or whatever the emotion is, and how important it is to find a way to release these things, because otherwise they can, you know, turn into something worse. Right. And that's where you get a lot of your sickness and illness and diseases and things.
Absolutely.
Because it just festers.
I agree. 100%. It just festers. It sits in the body. It's got to be released. This is what, in my opinion, again, depression is, because we're taking these emotions and this adolescent part, this adolescent chair from the adolescent chair, I'm pushing down these emotions. In fact, I'm taking this little child chair and I'm throwing it into the basement and locking the door. I don't want to know what these emotions are. They're too painful. So that's depression. And people will come in and they'll say, I'm numb. I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. You know, my doctor wants to put me on all these meds, which, again, I'm like, if you need meds, go ahead, but can we try a few things first? And people I've worked with have come off of anxiety meds just from me working with them and feeling their emotions, doing just what I just talked to you about. Same with depression. So it's like, oh my gosh, let's try these few things first. And it's amazing what can happen if we stop going outside of ourselves for the answer and going inside. And you and I have talked about that in the beginning of the show. You know, our inside, our heart is the GPS system. We want to go outside for that quick fix, that quick Xanax,
treating the effect instead of the cause, right?
When actually,
that's what our whole society is doing.
Yeah, just get in touch with yourself. Yes. I think it was it Thich Nhat Hanh? Somebody said, I loved this quote. You know, you're talking about emotions and negative emotions. And he said, and I don't remember, it was Oprah or somebody said, you know, what do I do with them? And he said, invite them to tea. I love that. Like,
it's
be
so good
with them.
It's like your demons. The same thing. It's the same. Yes. I've heard the same thing. Like, you know, sit down and invite your demons to tea. It's like, that's really, they're just, it's all energy. It's all energy looking to be transformed and waiting for you to deal with it. And the beautiful thing is, behind a lot of these blockages and these demons are sort of, it's like the caterpillar butterfly. It's like a demon turns into an angel. It's the lump of coal turning into a diamond. There's a gift behind it for you waiting to be discovered behind all your challenges. And if you can approach your challenges from this knowing this perspective that it is a blessing in disguise in some way. Now you take this thing that's on its way to maybe festering and turning into a disease, and you transform it into a great gift. And what a wonderful journey to go. It's a very, very good reason to invite them to tea, I would say.
That is like what you just talked about is a huge part of the adult chair model, which is you have to get to know your parts. And instead of me saying, you know, Michelle is if I said to you like, oh gosh, you know, I am lonely. It's like, I'm not lonely. There's a part of me that's lonely. So I think of us like puzzles, like maybe 100 or 1,000 piece puzzle, right?
Or multifaceted, multidimensional.
Lonely. Exactly. So what I encourage people to do, and I teach people how to do this, is you just get to know the part of you that feels lonely, or I'm not lovable, or I don't deserve fill in the blank. So when we do that, again, we typically find it might be in the body where we feel like a knot in the stomach. Okay, well, I'm feeling like I feel really bad, or I'm a fraud or something. Okay, what does that part look like? And we give it an image. Well, maybe it's a blob of energy, or maybe it's me when I was 8 years old. I have a part of Michelle. I always laugh. It's like, I call her Feral Michelle. So when I get really angry, I'll sit and I'll go, okay, wait a minute. Who's so angry? And she is actually transformed over the years. And she just comes, you know, in the beginning she came on more, but now she doesn't come around all that much anymore. But if I get angry about something, I'll tune in and I'm like, oh, there she is. It's Feral Michelle. Who's the guy, you know who she reminds me of? Who's the guy from Lord of the Rings that lived by Gollum? The river? The guy with the ring. The guy that's like, yes.
Oh my gosh, you're Gollum.
Like, she's like, yes, yes. So my she's precious. Like tattered and torn clothing. No, you know, like her, she's all dirty. She's crying. She's screaming. She swears at me all the time. And she's like 12.
Wow.
So I'll talk to her and I just stand from my adult and I just get an image of her coming toward me. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she'll be like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, sure. Can I say that?
Sorry, I swore. This effing guy, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he said this, and I just stand there from my healthy adult place, my mature Michelle place. And I'll say, tell me more. And I want to know everything that that part is feeling and thinking. And I hear it all. And that's where the transformation starts to happen. Just feeling heard is the greatest gift we can give to any part of ourselves or any other human being for that matter. But, and then I'll turn to that part and I go, thank you so much. But I just want you to know, I really love you. I really, really love you. And then right in front of my eyes, that part starts to transform every single time.
Yeah. It makes me think of a friend, a good friend of mine who, and I brought this up recently on the show, who was talking to me and we were, you know, having some conversation just about our journeys to healing and self, you know, self healing and the journey that she's on. And she's like, yeah, you know, I have all of a sudden have visions out of nowhere of me, like just stabbing myself repeatedly. You know, that's a pretty extreme visual image. Yes. What would you say to someone who's having something like that intense come up? How would you sort of, you know, coach that, counsel that?
Yeah. So I would get in touch with that part. Mm-hmm. Okay. And oftentimes too, remember, it might not even be from our own consciousness, but part of that collective consciousness. But either way, no matter what, I get in touch with that part because I want to transform it because we're all light beings underneath this whole illusion. So I will sit and I'll look at that part that might be wanting to stab me and I'll say, hey, what's going on? Like, I'm here for you. And I'm holding my, what I call my adult stance. You know, I'm like just very in my adult. I'm very present. And that part, again, will be so mad. And the greatest thing that I see that can transform these parts is when I look at it, I'll either say, it's time for you to go. And I'll see a light come down in through the room. And I just put it in the light. Or I tell it I love it. And then I put it in the light. But either way, it transforms. It's all, everything is energy. Even thought is all energy, as you know. So I want to transform it. And I don't want it part of my field if it's in this negative energy, right? So I just transform it. So I'll get to know it. I talk to it. I tell it I'm here. I liken the adult chair to when we check in with our parts. Think about yourself being like the greatest CEO to the most awesome company and you're doing a Monday morning meeting. So you sit down as the CEO, that's the adult, and you're listening to all these employees around this table. Let's say there's 20 or 10 or however many employees that are showing up that day. And you're just checking in going, hey, what do you have going on? And they might go, well, I'm really mad at so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And as a CEO, you don't buy into it, right? You go, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Who's next? Thank you for sharing. Who's next? Thank you for sharing. And in the end, you go, thank you all for sharing. So these are all voices and parts. Typically, sometimes they're from the child, but typically they're coming from this adolescent part of us. It's the masks. It's this fragmented parts off. So we want to sit, connect into those parts, thank them because they're trying to protect us. Let's face it. They're here to serve a purpose. But then from my adult, I'll say, I'm going to choose now what to do, but I appreciate you all watching out for me. Thank you so much. And the meeting's adjourned. It's done. So it's checking in with all these parts, is learning how to listen really, really well. And again, We would rather take a quick pill, have a glass of wine, eat some food in order not to hear what these parts are saying. And this is great, by the way, for ruminating thoughts, too. Mm-hmm. People that have ruminating thoughts, get in touch with those. What's the feeling? What's the emotion underneath those thoughts? So that was a very long answer to your question.
No, no, that's what I wanted. And in bringing, you know, not, I mean, would you say not in addition to listening, also bringing love to the, you know, that part of yourself and saying, you know, I hear you, I love you, it's, this isn't something, I mean, do you have any self-talk of sort of shifting perspective, or is it just hearing and bringing love and holding space?
It's typically bringing love and holding space. If there's something that seems really off to me, and this does not happen very much, but you know, sometimes there's some like really negative dark energy in someone and they're coming in, or like one part of them, not all of them, remember, one part of them. And I'll say to them, can you feel that there's something a little bit off inside of you? Yes, I don't know what that is. I'm so angry lately. And as you know, when we're with other people or even in the grocery store, if someone's really a negative person, some of that energy can get on us. Some of that energy, and then we leave the grocery store. Now I've got this other person's energy in me, and it sometimes can affect us. So once in a while, I'll feel something on somebody and I'm like, I don't think this is you, is it? And I've had people come in and say, I feel like someone else is talking to me. It's not even me. And I'm like, let's tell that part to go. So I'm not going to tell that part that I love it. I just say, you know what? Let's see the white light come down into the room. Tell that part. It's got to go because you're in charge. Let it know you got, it's got to go. So, but most of the time I am saying, let's just, you know, even my little feral Michelle, I'm like, I'll just sit there. And sometimes I want to giggle because now it makes me laugh because she's so angry. I really love you. And they start. I remember one time I did it and I just with little feral Michelle, I just kept saying, I love you. I really love you. And I thank you. And I love you. She morphed from a 12-year-old feral Michelle to this little girl who was 4 years old, dressed in like a little Easter Sunday dress. Aww. Like she was so cute. Aww. I'm like, wow. Like that's who's underneath all that protection. It's just a mask.
Right.
So when you tell the mask that you love it, it melts and it transforms.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So yeah, so cute.
So let's talk about the adult and who the adult is and where the adult comes from. And this is something that I've been talking about a lot lately is, you know, on the show is this, aligning of ourselves with our higher self, you know, the non-physical part of ourselves that's already been there, done that, gotten the t-shirt. It's been through this whole life. It's played out every possible timeline or version of your life that's still ahead of you. It's done, you know, it's already on the other end of other lives for that matter. And it's sort of like in some sense, it's a future you. Of course, then you get into the idea of there being no time and it's really just, you know, you on another channel, if you will. And the way I see it is as we move more in line with this expanded version of ourselves, maybe is the best way to put it, and align with the way it views the world and it sees situations and it deals with situations, the more our life unfolds in a way that is pleasing to us. Do you resonate with those, those thoughts, that idea?
100%. Yeah. Because when I'm in my adult, and doing exactly what you're saying, I have trust. So we learn that, you know, I really believe that we're here for experiences. Now, what happens is I think that egoic part of us judges those experiences as good or bad, but the highest version of ourself knows we're just here for experiences. We're here for contrast. We're here for experiences. So, I lost your question.
No, you're on it. You're on it.
So, yeah.
You're on a roll.
I was on a roll, but I'm like, what the hell is the point?
The point is there is no point. From the way I feel about it is like, as we sort of bring these perspectives that the higher self has on all situations, the more it's like flowing through us and the more it's like, you know, our job is to kind of do this dance with our little human self and our higher self, our expanded self. And, you know, the more we think and view from the perspective of higher self, the more it's flowing through us. The channel is opening up and things, even though there may be turbulence on the ride, it's sort of like you become the eye of the storm, right? You, the calm, peaceful center that no matter what's happening, you see things from a perspective that give it, you know, a silver lining, right? And meaning.
Yes. Well, the trust. I remember what I was going to say now. Yes.
I knew if I rambled long enough, you'd find it again. Yeah. I'm here for you. I'm here for you, Michelle.
Thank you for rambling. That was good.
I'm good at this rambling thing. It turns out.
Thank you. So when we're in our adult, okay, the highest version, meaning I've got my higher self coming down through me, then I remember, because I've got my higher self coming down through me, I'm connecting into my body, I'm connecting into my heart, that I am here for experiences. And again, the egoic part of us says, this is good and this is bad. But the higher part of us, that adult part, does not believe that. It knows I'm here for experiences and everything leads to something else. And it is really, life really is a journey. And I'm here to experience fear. Maybe I'm here to experience regret. Maybe I'm here to experience shame. Maybe, you know, so it's not a bad thing. I think our soul jumps up and down. It's so excited to come on in and go, yes, like, please, I want to get like a horrendous divorce and have my husband cheat on me. So then I can learn all about forgiveness. I'm going to learn how to find my true self. I'm going to feel lonely. I'm going to feel this. And the soul's like, yes, that's exactly what I want. But the ego comes in and goes, that, you know, I can't believe in, you know, judges. And then we get our friends to get on board and judge. And it's like, no, from this higher perspective, we know it's all divine. It's all part of the plan. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's an experience. Yep.
It's all happening for you,
so
not
when
to
we
you.
Take a step back. Exactly. And we take a step back and observe it and stay. This is the big thing, too. Like, are you connecting to yourself or are you listening to the mind? Like, again, there's that inner part. Our goal and our job, I think, is to stay connected to that part. So the higher version of me and that inner heart version of me, part of me. And when I'm connecting there, I start to see through this illusion. I remember one time my husband was, he was getting all upset at me for something. And I remember looking at him and I was like, oh my God, this is happening. It's so cool. Mm. I can see right through all of this. Feels to me, his energy feels like he's 5 years old and he was in his 40s. Okay. And I said, he feels like he's fine. And I'm thinking all this. I'm not saying it out loud, of course. But he's like, you didn't do this and blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, he's like five. That's so cool. Look at, he's so triggered and he doesn't even see it. Oh, wow. Look, now he's projecting on me. Oh, that's so cool. Look at how this is happening and unfolding. I could not have done that if I'm in my adolescence here in this ego, in my defense, judging him back, doing the tango with him and getting all upset and getting this huge fight. So I just listened and I said, okay. I said, are you done? And he goes, yeah, I'm done. And I said, okay, thanks. I turned out and walked away. And I was like, that was cool. Because I could see right through it. And I think when we're in that space of what I call the adult or higher self or consciousness, we start to see through all this crap that we get stuck in. We can see right through it like I did. And I see it happening now with my clients. They're like, my mother has always triggered me. And a client came in the other day and I said, did you stay connected to yourself? She goes, I stayed so connected to myself. I saw my mother's passive aggressiveness. I saw her trying to blame me. She did something else with her. And then I said, wow.
Yeah.
She said, it didn't bother me, but
yeah, it's powerful.
I said, well, there you go. You're in your adult.
It's powerful. So. And this is one that has been,
changes the game.
You know, honestly, the most challenging for me because I am such a energized, passionate person. And of course, there's always two edges to every sword. So that's something that's just served me greatly in my life. It serves me greatly on this show. It serves me greatly in my entrepreneurial ventures and relationships. But it can, you know, for the longest time, and it's something I've made a lot of progress. But, you know, when someone triggers my child, right? Or they come triggered at me and getting like instantly just like roped into that. And, you know, and I think what I found is a lot of in between states for me when it's like, okay, I'm aware that I'm being triggered or they're being triggered. And, but I'm not quite there where I don't sort of still react in a way, but it's like there's an awareness, even though I'm still maybe not being the, it is like the way you described it. Oh, okay, cool. Are you done? Like, but really meaning that in a way that's like, you're not trying to be sarcastic or, or you know, instigate them or anything like that. You truly are feeling completely disconnected energetically. And because you see it so clearly, that's at quite the state to get to. And that's one that I still, you know, I'm working on. And I think probably a lot of people are. But, what my point is any of you guys who are sort of at those in between states where you sort of are aware, but you're still reacting some, and but you can see that you can see what's playing out, but you still kind of get sucked in. It's like Eckhart Tolle talks about you're pulling the cord on the vacuum. You see it for what it is, but it's still running a little bit afterwards, you know, because there's still some power there. So I think that's a part of it for a lot of people. Would you agree?
I do. And you're bringing up something that I love to talk about, which is shadow work. And that's all that it is. I mean, a trigger is just someone else reflecting back to us something unconscious, a belief that's unconscious within us that we don't want to look at. So I remember learning triggers, or learning about the shadows. And I mean, Carl Jung talks all about this, but Debbie Ford was one of my great teachers teaching this. But she, you know, when we get triggered, it's like, oh, I started getting excited. I'm like, cool, another unconscious part of me now that I'm able to find out about, because otherwise they stay hidden. So when I started getting triggered, I was like, okay, not that it feels comfortable, by the way, because I found things like, I'm unlovable, I'm bad, I don't matter. You know, all of these things started coming out. But when we can look at them and really sit with them, and again, invite them to tea and be with these parts and go, oh my gosh, you know, I really love you, little Michelle, that feels so bad or that feels unlovable or whatever it is. And gosh, all of a sudden, that part of us is exposed. And then what do you know? The trigger is not there. Either we're less triggered or it's just not there. Now, like when I get, now when I get lonely used to just demolish me. Like I would be like, oh, you know, I moved away from all my family living here. I don't like living here. I want to move back closer to my family. So when I first moved here, lonely would come in and I'd be like, oh my God, I can't even function. Now, when my lonely comes in, which is infrequently, I go, oh, there it is. Hi, lonely. Oh, it's just here. It's temporary. Right, right. It's coming for a visit.
You're stopping by.
Doesn't throw me anymore. You know, it's like, oh, okay, done. You know,
it's such a powerful way to frame it. When, you know, oh, lonely stopping by. Hey, lonely. How are you? Old friend. Good to see you. Sending you love. You know, it's just a wonderful way to frame it when you really start to understand that you are this multi-layered, multi-dimensional being with all these different facets and puzzle pieces, as you said. And it doesn't mean you've got to crumble to the floor and say, oh, this is who and what I am fully. And this is all that I am. And I am nothing more than loneliness. 110%. It's like, no, you're not. That's, you know, that's a part of yourself that's coming up for love and healing, right?
Exactly. It's coming up for love and healing. It doesn't know it's bad. But when we, again, when we buy into it.
And from the highest perspective, it really isn't even bad. Like you said, when you're really viewing things from the higher self, it's like that's the contrast that, you know, you wanted to experience. And I love the way you put that, too. The soul is jumping up and down. Yes, here's a fearful situation for me to deal with. Yes, here's something traumatic for me to go through so I can come out the other side and be the phoenix rising from the ashes. And, you know, the hero's journeys, you know, that I wanted to take as a soul.
Did you ever read, this is a book that I actually have in my office. I give it out to clients over the years because I love it. It's Neil Donald Walsh's book. It's called, this the children's book called The Little Soul in the Sun.
I always say on the show, I've said it on the show probably a dozen times, that's my all-time favorite book.
Yep, totally.
It just, I for mean, adults, for, children, anyone.
Yes, Oh, I handed out like a library book in my office. I go, I want you to go home and read this.
That's like, so funny.
Well, why? You know, I'm so funny mad at someone. So I'm like, yeah, go home and read this. And they come back and they're like, oh my God, my whole world is tilted. I'm like, yeah.
So, you know, having talked about this so many times on the show, actually, Michelle, would you care to give people a summary of what the message is in the book?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like what I was saying earlier in that we're all okay. Let me give you my example of what I think God is and what the soul is. Okay. So as you know, living in the South, right, or in Tennessee, you know, many people come in and they talk about God, and I am not here to change anyone's mind. I'm here to offer something, you know, and if you like it, take it or leave it. But many people come in and the way they talk about God, it's like Santa Claus sitting on a, you know, a throne up in heaven on a cloud. I'm like, let me tell you this is what I believe God to be, right? God is an unconditionally loving energy, and God is like the ocean, and we are like individual waves as souls in that ocean. So we're not ever separated from God, but we're a small part of God that comes down in these bodies. So when we think about that book, Neil Donald Walsh did such a beautiful job. He shows souls as all these little candles of light. And then he shows them making agreements before they're born to come in and say, okay, I'm going to be your brother. And I'm going to, you know, he doesn't say this, you know, I don't remember the exact dialogue that these little kids have, but they're cute. They have like a trunk of clothing and they're going through and they're like, okay, I'll be the brother and you be the sister. Right. And, you know, maybe the brother says, I'm going to be a drug addict. He doesn't say this in the book, but this is my example. And the sister says, okay. And you're going to make mom and dad really mad. He goes, yeah, I'll do that. And then you guys get to learn forgiveness. I'm going to leave the family and, you know, you're going to do this. And the little sister's like, okay. So that's basically what that little dialogue is in the book. And then they show these little kids. I think at the end, they show them coming down into bodies or into the same family. So that's what the whole book is basically about, is that these souls pre-plan, pre-write what the big things, not day-to-day life, like what you're having for lunch, but I want to come in. I really need to experience regret, or I need to experience forgiveness. So can you show up and be my so-and-so and really, you know, screw me over so then I can feel I'm going to have to forgive you. And they'll say, okay, I'm doing it for you. But don't forget, that was the one thing in the book. The little boy says something like, don't forget that I love you so much and I'm doing this for you. And that's the problem. We step down in here into the illusion and we forget because of that veil. We forget that people are here to help us and they're doing it for us.
Yep. And he says, and I will have to, you know, in the instance of giving something to forgive, right? The soul wants to experience forgiveness. The soul that steps forward and says, I will do something, you know, awful for you to forgive. But in the process, I will have to have had to lower my vibration so much and dim my light so much, I will have forgotten who and what I am. And all I ask in that moment that I will have forgotten my who and what I am is that you remember me as I am here now. And it's such a beautiful, like, tear invoking way it's, you know, written out. It's just so powerful, because that's the thing, is all of these characters playing these roles and these, you know, in stories. And those of you who have experienced something that you feel like you've been victimized, these are souls that, you know, love you so much. They've chosen to lose their own light and forget themselves so that they can do this thing to you, so that you can have the opportunity to rise above it and become, you know, the phoenix out of the ashes and love them, even though they did these things. And it doesn't mean you need to mix it up with them and go and get abused or anything like that, but seeing it for what it is, that they're playing a role, they're a prop in your movie, and they signed up to do so because they love you so much, and they're experiencing pain to do it, because if they're doing something ugly, you can guarantee it's because they're, you know, hurting, right?
They're here to teach us, for sure. And in meditation, this is why I love meditation, we get glimpses of this through experience. You know, sometimes we'll see a little movie of the veil lifting, or we have the experience of God, you know, and then we can have a recall of, oh, this is why I'm here. That's right. I remember now. So
right.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, just to switch gears just a little bit, one of the things that you talked about, you on your site, which what is your site, by the way?
It's michellechalfant.com, and that's C-H-A-L-F-A-N-T. But they can, anyone can get to it just typing in theadultchair.com.
Got it.
And that takes people right to the podcast.
Okay, cool.
On the website. So that's still the website, but, you know, it goes right to the podcast,
so,
I think.
So you also write blogs, mm-hmm. and I was looking at some of the blogs, and there were a couple of them that I thought were really interesting and jumped out. You also have a bunch of free guided meditations as well, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I have them on my website and also on YouTube. And I do a lot for people that are going through issues with self-love or codependency. I just put one out on helping with boundaries. So I have a background also in hypnosis. So I kind of combine hypnosis into these meditations. And so it's just another way of healing for people and guiding them through and more into their adult chair energy. So they're energy based and easy to listen to. None of them are longer than 20 or 30 minutes, but I even have a really popular one. It's called the 5 minute self love meditation. It's one of the most popular ones on there. So yeah, lots of good stuff.
Oh, cool. I love that. I'm going to have to try that one out myself. I always say self love is the number one thing that all of us are here to learn. That's like the top of everyone's list. We have these varied paths, but I feel like that is like sort of a consistent across the board with humanity.
That is why I created this adult chair. That was one of the main reasons that I created it, because I grew up feeling, again, anxious, depressed. I didn't understand what was quote unquote wrong with me. I did not like myself. I had such negative thoughts. I didn't understand why I hated myself, to be honest with you. And I started looking in my 20s, and this is before there was a Google or an internet or anything like that. So I'm going to the library and trying to find books on this. And I discovered, I'm like, I just don't think I love myself. That's the problem. Like, the voices in my head hate me. So I must hate myself is what I had concluded in my early 20s. And then I remember one time hearing on Oprah, years ago when she used to have Dr. Phil on her show, and I was in a hotel room. I remember I had the TV on and I turned and Dr. Phil said something like, he was talking to some girl in the audience or on stage. I can't remember the whole thing, but he said, well, the problem is you just don't love yourself. And I stopped what I was doing. I spun around and I thought, here we go. He's going to give us the answer. And he goes, that's what you need to do. And then they went on and I said, well, how do you do it? Mm. So that I remember that day so clearly. I'm like, wow, I need to figure out how to do that. And then, you know, 20 years later, here I am. And that was a huge part of why I created this adult chair, because what I realize is there is no magic pill. If I had a magic pill for self-love, I'd be like a billionaire, but you know what I mean? So, but if we take these little, you know, it's a process for sure, but you've got to have the right process. And it is about getting in touch with the parts of you that are being so mean and using things like meditation, doing things like listening to your show. It raises your vibration. So there's so many things that help us to love ourselves. And again, that's why I created the whole model, because I really want to help people do that. So anyway, that's that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Love that. Well, we're getting down to it here, but I do have a couple quick mm-hmm. questions. And one of them, you know, of course, my listeners know I love, love, love stories of synchronicity, serendipity, positive paranormal stories. So do you have anything up your sleeve like that?
I have tons of examples for you. So here's one, though. That actually came to me this morning. I love when things line up.
Oh, cool. On the spot, very fresh stories, please.
Yeah, this is a real fresh one. I was thinking about this on my drive into work today, actually. How cool, really. Again, when we're conscious, we don't miss these things. And we really do realize we are so loved and so guided, but so many of us get lost and don't pay attention to the small, subtle signs that we see right in front of us. So this morning, I'd gotten up and I felt sort of like I was so connecting to my thoughts. And of course, part of our journey is learning how to become an observer of your thoughts. This is what I teach people, for God's sake. And I'm like, why? I can't stop buying into my thoughts. So of course, when we buy into our thoughts, my mood started to slide. I was like, I am feeling anxious. I'm starting to feel like really sad. Like, what's going on? Like, why am I beating up on myself in this way? And then I said to myself, okay, I need, and this is, these are some of the tools from the adult. Again, I go, you know, how do I help shift my energy? Because I can't stop listening to my thoughts and buying into them. And I said, okay, I think I'm just going to do some chanting, because chanting gives, it's like mind food. I call it mind food, you know? So if I'm chanting, the mind has something to do and there's something to pay attention to, but there's a lot of power in the words of different chants. So for me, Shiva is my, I mean, I love going to Shiva. So I just started chanting Om Namah Shivaya. Shiva is the destroyer of evil and the illusion and all of that. I'm like, I got to get myself out of the illusion. So for about 5 minutes, I was just walking around the house chanting Shiva. And then I got in the shower and it was so cool because I have like, you know, the tile shower. So I started chanting Om, which is God, obviously. And I'm going Om, and it was so wow, beautiful. It was vibrating in the shower. And I then could feel myself, just because of the energy of that, start to lift out. And then on the way to work, I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to another one of your podcasts. So I pull out the podcast. I can't remember which one. It was a recent one that had Eckhart Tolle on it. Or that you had an excerpt from Eckhart Tolle, and you specifically, which was so divine to me, divine intervention and divine timing, you were talking about. And again, I looked at all these shows of yours and I'm like, which one should I listen to? It wasn't the most recent. It was like, I don't remember how many back. You specifically were talking, right? You specifically were talking about thought, not paying attention to thought, stepping into consciousness. And then you had Eckhart Tolle come on. In fact, my husband called me, and when I was on my way to work, I'm like, I can't talk. I got to listen to Eckhart Tolle. And I hung up with him and I listened to what Eckhart Tolle said. And then I got to work and I'm like, oh my God, I'm totally back. I'm reconnected to myself, reconnected to spirit. I feel like 100%. And it happened so quickly. And I could feel when I started chanting how quickly it happened. So again, and I was like, wow, there really is a loving being out there that's here to guide me, but I've got to pay attention. And this is not coincidental that I picked that, the most perfect podcast. I listen to podcasts every morning. Other people, and I'm like, I want to listen to Brandon's again.
It happens so much. It's like, once you're in the flow and you realize, you know, there is this benevolent force that is coordinating the perfect things to come to you. And you sort of meet it halfway by playing in that way. I mean, yeah, the amount of times that people will pick a show and it is exactly what they need. It's like, I'm actually developing an app right now where it has that as a function, like, you know, where it will randomly serve up, you know, from the universe, if you will, what's for you at that moment. And the thing is, if you're getting it, it is for you. It is perfectly brought to you. And that's the thing, is when someone understands that and you play with that idea, then it can get really creative in the way it plays back and
exactly
like, mirror exactly what you're saying and they're thinking or dealing with, and it just blow your mind, right? It's amazing.
Right. And it's so, again, it's so subtle. But if we're paying attention, boom, you will notice it. And there it is. And then we really do realize, God, there is something else out there that loves me so much, that's here for me, that wants to support me, that knows I'm stuck in this illusion. But we got to pay attention. You know, pay attention when your clock says 11:11 and 2:22 and 3:3. It's like, oh, there's the universe again, letting me know everything's going to be okay. So
it's a little wink. A little wink.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this has been absolutely amazing, Michelle. You are amazing. What is the best way for people who want to follow your work or connect with you or come to a workshop or any of those things to do so? Through your website, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say to go to the website, michelleschelfon.com or theadultchair.com. And I have, you can sign up for the newsletter, then you'll know when a class is coming. But I also have, I have Michelle Chalfant fan page on Facebook, but I also have, which is really cool, the Adult Chair closed group. So you go through my website to invite or to request to join. It is the most beautiful space where we share vulnerable information. People ask questions. I go in oftentimes and answer, but it's vulnerable. Like, people go in and say, hey, this is going on with me. You know, I just broke up with so-and-so, or I'm going through a divorce, or I think that, you know, it's real vulnerable information. So you've got to be ready. You know, yeah. A lot of people don't yep. speak, or they don't comment, but everyone watches. Yeah. They're observing, and I have people observe on the side, like in my clients yep. or people email me and go, this group is so amazing. Thank you. But, so it's a really beautiful space to find support and guidance on your path.
That sounds exactly like what we have going on with, I have the Positive Heads Facebook group, and cool. it's the same exact thing, yes. closed group. And, people are just the most amazing souls yes. getting together and, sharing and supporting one another and opening up about private things that, you know, they may not want the rest of
the world
Facebook land
yes.
to, you know, peek in on. Yeah. 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 And so that's so awesome that you're doing
yeah.
that too. I love that.
I love
we
it.
Have a lot of overlap for sure.
And then I just started. Which I'm learning how to do Instagram. So that's just michelle.shelfhunt. So I post like some of my family stuff, but also business stuff on there. That's kind of fun. But I just started that. So, but I'm having fun
cool.
with that. I have to ask my teenage sons,
cool.
like, how do I do it? But yeah, they're showing me.
Yeah, no, I'm only about 6 months ahead of you with the Positive Head Instagram, but I really like enjoy it too and have some help with it. And so, well, this has been amazing, Michelle. You are doing such amazing work, and I just appreciate you. You're such a beautiful reflection. I do have one last question I'd like to leave you with, and it's a short one, 60 seconds or less. What is the meaning of life according to Michelle Chalfant?
Oh my God. What is the meaning of life? Oh, I already said it. It's experience. That's it. Mm, we're
yep.
here to experience.
59 seconds to go. Very
oh,
good. I love it. That is
yeah, we're just here
a
to
wonderful
experience
answer.
Life and learn and remember that we are living in an illusion, and the goal is to stay connected to ourselves. And to get back to that, because we lose ourselves with our mind. So
yeah.
the goal is to get connected, reconnected back to ourselves, despite all of these experiences that we have. That's the goal.
Below the chin.
Well, there you go. Yes. Drop below the chin.
Michelle, thank you so much.
I call it chin down. Chin down.
Michelle, my chin is down. My heart is open. You're
thank
amazing.
You.
I look forward to connecting in 3D with you at some point. Until then, journey well.
Definitely. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you
I appreciate
for coming.
It.